You're listening to WAIF Cincinnati 88.3 FM, Waves of the New Age, bringing you soul-filled sounds and conscious conversation every Tuesday afternoon from 3 to 5 p.m. I'm your host, Tara Robinson. You can find our show on Facebook, Waves of the New Age. You can also find me on Facebook at Tara L. Robinson and also on the web at TaraLRobinson.com. Our show is made possible in part by the Conscious Living Center, supporting people on their journey of well-being with counseling, coaching, workshops in the School of Conscious Living. The Enneagram is used for their work in self-understanding, compassion, and transformation. More information about the Conscious Living Center can be found at www.goconscious.com. At this time, it's my pleasure to welcome to the program my guest today, who's one of my favorite people in the whole entire world. I just have mad respect and admiration for this high priestess. Anya McAndrew is an ordained high priestess and a congregational leader of Full Moon Sanctuary. She's dedicated to the path of the divine feminine, facilitating women's awakening and empowerment for the past 40 years. She is a creatrix of the shamanic priestess process and retreats, workshops, and processes for women. For more information, please visit goddessontheloose.com. And the reason for her being on the show today, we're going to focus on the brand new process, which is going to be debuted in October, beginning October 19th through the 23rd in Isis Cove, North Carolina. It is the third part of the Shamanic Priestess Process series, and this is the brand new Shamanic Wise Woman process. This is for the path of the sacred feminine elder who is aged 50 or older. I can't tell you, I mean, this totally makes me want to be 50. I still have a few more years to go, but I'm so looking forward to being able to do this process. And one of Anya's co-creators of this process, Mary Grace Manera, many of you who are tuning in today and listening from the local area here in Cincinnati may know Mary Manera. She is co-creating this process with Anya and also Jackie Gronenwagen. And Mary was going to be in the studio with us today, but she is not feeling well. So she was going to be joining us on the interview. It was going to be a three-way conversation with myself and Anya and Mary, but Mary's not able to be with us. She has some bronchitis stuff going on, but she hasn't been feeling well for about 3 weeks. So we definitely want to just take a moment and send some love and healing energy to Mary. Mary, if you're listening, we're sending you tons of love through the airwaves, and we hope that you can feel it. So, Anya, welcome. How are you today?
I'm very well. Thank you.
Oh, it's so great to have you here. I've been looking forward to this conversation for such a long time, and I want to start, before we really get into any, you know, question asking, I want to just give and offer my own personal endorsement of the Shamanic Priestess process, because I can really personally testify that hands down, this has been the most transformative and empowering experience of my whole life. I mean, you know, Anya, that I recently emerged from the second part of the process, the Magdalene Mysteries, and I have been missing our circle, and my life is already moving and shaking in ways that I never imagined. I just feel so blessed, and I wholeheartedly encourage any woman who has not gone through the process to consider jumping in. And I know the Shamanic Wise Woman process is women can do this without even having completed the first two parts of the process. Is that correct?
That is correct. We do have a questionnaire, though, because we really want to know that this process is a fit for the women who come on board. And so we have a few essay questions, and we're really interested in, you know, the applicant's relationship with other women and her familiarity with shadow work and her, her ability to resonate with the death mystery, some of the things that we're going to be looking at. So even though it's not necessary to complete the Shamanic Priestess process or the Priestess process in other versions, there is that, you know, sort of priestess overlay that comes with this process. We definitely will be facilitating it in a circle format. And that priestess vibration is definitely going to be with us.
I love that. Like I said, it's such an incentive for me to to turn 50. I love it. I just really have so much respect and admiration for you jumping in and creating this process, because this is so needed in our world today as more and more women are coming into a sense of empowerment. I mean, what a beautiful rite of passage to be able to have a circle of women to really dive into these later in life mysteries, which generally in society, there's not like a great place to get to drop in with that. I would love to know what inspired you to create this workshop series.
You know, I knew inside myself that I would be called to do this, but the timing has not been right until last year. And synchronistically enough, Mary and Jackie, who we call Yacoba, that's her priestess name, were visiting me along with another Magdalene sister who's not yet 50. And she was actually the one who asked, so what's next after the Magdalene process, the Magdalene mysteries? And my response was, well, I know that there is an elder crone process that I'm meant to facilitate for women, but I didn't want to do it by myself. I wanted to co-create it. And when I said that, both Mary and Yacoba raised their hands up high and said, we will do it with you. I mean, almost immediately. So we began the process of co-creating that very weekend. This was late October, so the launch of this process will be actually a year, about just almost a year later.
Wow.
And you know, the other thing for me is that I'm approaching 65. Late October, I'll be 65. And I've facilitated many older women through the years. And so I'm very aware of the challenges, the gifts, the issues that are now really up in my own energy field. And I'm finding that I'm embracing all of these in a way that I never had before. I was kind of resistant, and it's like, no, I'm not a crone yet. No, I don't want that. And now I truly feel my wise woman coming online. And I see myself really more as a facilitator than a teacher. So I know that each of the women that participates will also be adding so much to the field we're going to be co-creating together. So it's Mary and Yacoba and I, but it really is all of the participants, all of the women who hear the call. And, you know, there are many, many processes for elders now, conscious aging, because, of course, I'm a baby boomer, and there's so many baby boomers coming into elderhood, and there is a whole conscious aging movement, which I love. And this is unique to women, and this is also a little bit different because it's a shamanic process and because it's a sacred feminine process.
I definitely want to get into more of what those definitions mean, but first I want to ask you a couple of questions. What caused you to know that you wanted to co-create this process this time? Because, you know, I would think you've been doing the Magdalene Mysteries and the Shamanic Priestess process really on your own and the other mm-hmm. events and workshops for 40 years. And, you know, so it seems like it would have been very natural or like a no-brainer for you to just add this to your repertoire, but it sounds like you were really passionate about doing it as a partnership.
Yes, I really wanted to do it as a partnership, and it's really a time of co-creation for me. As I step more and more into my elderhood, really, I don't want to do things. I don't want to create on my own as much anymore. I really want to have sisters to create with, and now that I've done these processes for so many years, there are lots of women that I can co-create with. So I had many choices, and Mary Grace and Yacoba are two of my favorite priestess sisters, so it was just perfect.
That is perfect. That is perfect. And you mentioned that because you're coming into a time in your life when you can really feel your wise woman coming online, and you're starting to really understand the challenges and the gifts with this stage of life, which you've witnessed in many of the older women who've been through your circles. And I'm wondering if you could name what some of those are. What are some of the challenges and gifts of being at this stage?
Well, certainly there are body challenges. And, you know, one of the predicaments of the feminine is body image. You know, we just don't ever seem to get away from body image. So as we age, of course, body image issues come up, the things that we have not resolved, the places in ourselves that we've not fully, where we've not fully accepted ourselves and accepted our bodies comes up. That certainly has come up for me. I'm single again. So, you know, almost turning 65. And really wanting to be in a partnership again, that's a huge confrontation for me to really take a look at, okay, I really am not the same person that I was when I was single in previous years. So that's one of the things. Also, starting to look at legacy. What am I leaving? And how can I make sure that my legacy continues, my lineage continues. That's been an issue for me. And so completing, apprenticing women in the Shamanic Priestess Process and the Magdalene Mysteries, I feel like I'm winding that down. And there's just, you know, there's so many things. I think one of the realizations I've come to, probably more than anything else, is that I always say it in a way that reminds me of the Wizard of Oz. I'm melting, you know, the hard edges of me, you know, the warrior priestess that I've been, you know, I so much relate to that archetype and the eternal girl and, of course, the facilitator and the teacher. My edges are so rounding out, and I'm finding that my emotions are on the surface more than ever, and that I really am becoming more transpersonal. And I do think that's one of the gifts of aging, that we are closer to the celestial world. So I can feel that happening in me, and I really embrace it. Wonderful.
So does that layer in with the study of the death mysteries, the fact that you're closer to the celestial world, is that part of where the death mysteries come in, or is that more dealing specifically with saying goodbye to our loved ones and helping people transition?
The death mysteries are all of that. They really have to do with looking at our own death and our own mortality and really opening and honoring that and having a relationship with that. And then it's also doing our own inner work around death, for in other words, for creating a death plan, as Mary called it. Mary was going to be speaking about this, but I'm going to speak for her, taking responsibility for creating a death plan that really reflects our values. I mean, that's huge. And modeling this openness in our communities and also making death an ally, again, having a relationship with it. And we're going to be doing a great deal of that in the process. We'll be spending at least a day on the death mysteries every time we meet. And then there's also the experiences that we've had around death, with death and dying, and how those experiences have shifted our beliefs. And I think there is a shift around death that happens as we get closer to death, as we're completing our lives, and maybe even letting go of some of the fears that we as a culture have around death. So I do believe that the death mysteries are definitely a part of becoming more what I call transpersonal. In other words, beyond the personal. You know, the ego is is receding to the background. It's not as important as it has been. And so as the ego sort of melts and our edges melt, then we're able, then we just naturally become more intuitive, we become more spiritual, and of course we're closer to becoming an ancestor ourselves.
What a precious phase of life. I mean, I've heard many women say that they would never exchange their wisdom for the, you know, like the beauty of their youth. Are you finding that to be true for you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's taken a while for me to really embrace that. I know it started in my 50s when I was still doing a lot of psychotherapy, and the women who came to me in their 30s, clearly I started having the realization, wow, this woman could be my daughter. And then as I got older, that was just sort of a duh. It was sort of a given. But there was another quality that started coming in, and I started finding that the pieces that I had gathered, the tools that I had gathered, the wisdom and the knowledge that I had gathered were coming together in almost every situation in a whole new way, in a much more spontaneous way, in a way that really didn't take preparation. It was more embodied. My wisdom was more embodied.
Mm. You mentioned visiting the death mysteries at least once, one day, every time you get together. So I'd like to talk about the pragmatics of this process for a moment, just so all of our listeners can understand, you know, what does that mean every time we get together? How often are you meeting and where, and how is that working? And first, we are getting a little bit of static, so I don't know if you can adjust your location or if you have a headset on, maybe adjust that a little bit and see if we can get you coming through a little more clear. And, you know, because I know that there was a little bit of a change to the process based on what it was initially thought would be the three different weekends. And now this first one, October 19th through 23rd, can be a standalone weekend. Is that correct?
Yes. We're going to have two standalone weekends, actually. They're longer than weekends. They're actually... we're meeting on Wednesday night at dinner at our locations, and then we are working all day on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and just a little bit on Sunday. Our closing circle will be on Sunday. So that first one will be in October at Isis Cove, which is where I live. We have a very sweet retreat center. And then... the second one will be in the winter, but we're moving it to Central Florida. We have a villa in Central Florida, and that will be in probably mid-January. And then that will be the second standalone session so that we can have a committed circle to move deeper and go into sessions 2 and 3. And the second one will be in Cincinnati in the spring. We've got lots of time between these, so that's great. It's great for all of us to be able to take the information really back into our lives and apply it and ground it. And then the third one will be back at Isis Cove, probably in the late summer or early fall.
Okay, so this could potentially span about a year for a woman if she goes to the initial standalone in October. And so that's October 19th through the 23rd. You did mention that there's a questionnaire to fill out. And where is the best place for our listeners to go to either save their spot or to register or to ask for more information?
So Mary's email is probably the best place to go to register. And let me find that in case you don't have it. I can find it pretty quickly.
I do have that here.
Okay,
it's
great.
Mary Grace Manera, and her email address is marygrace372@me.com. Again, that's marygrace372@me.com. Okay, so contacting Mary via email is the best.
And an online brochure, you could say, or an online web page is on my website, which again is goddessontheloose.com. And if you scroll down on the left, you'll find a page that says the Shamanic Wise Woman Process. And you can just click on that, and that will be updated regularly. So there's pricing information there. There's going to be dates there. We haven't really settled on our January dates yet, so we're still working on those, but they'll be mid-January of 2017.
Okay. Okay, and the second standalone, which is in mm-hmm. Central Florida, and then maybe the new circle together will work on dates for the spring, or the dates in the spring?
Yes, those dates are set, and those are going to be in April, and they're at the Transfiguration Spirituality Center in Cincinnati, and that will be the 26th through the 30th of April, 2017, and then we have not set, May, June. We may have something at Isis Cove late summer, so maybe July, early August, late July or early August back in Isis Cove for our third one.
Okay.
So one of some of the features of it is that we really want women to retreat. We want them to be in retreat. So we'll be catered so that we don't have to prepare food. The lodging will be cozy. One of the reasons we're moving it to Florida is we don't want to do it in North Carolina in the winter, and we don't want to do it in Cincinnati in the winter. It's going to be important for us to meet in the winter, so we've got a heated pool and a villa, a luxury villa, and that's really sweet in Central Florida. So women will be flying into Orlando.
Oh, that's fabulous. So these women are really going to have an opportunity to be pampered as well as doing the hard work process.
We really hope so. That's really a feature of being an elder, that, you know, it's not about doing any hard work anymore. We want to be.
Do you feel like that is a shift you see happening in our society? You know, our modern society has come such a far way from really having reverence for our elders. Do you see a returning to that?
I certainly hope so, Tara. I certainly hope so. And, of course, you know, the first place is to have reverence for ourselves. And so, you know, we'll be working with all of that. And as we know, with the priestess field, you know, it just ripples out. So we want our work to just ripple out into our communities, into our families, and into our communities and beyond.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So this whole concept of creating a death plan isn't so foreign any longer, would be the hope.
Mm-hmm.
That can become more an integrated and normalized part of our society, an expected part even for this stage of our life. So I want to ask you about the shamanic part of the process and why you call this a shamanic process.
You know, there's several reasons. You know, first of all, we live in shamanic times. In other words, you know, we're living in times where there's this deep, soulful process going on of death and resurrection and rebirth in the world. And everyone is examining their beliefs. And some people are, you know, fighting for their beliefs, and other people are shifting their beliefs. But there's a huge process going on, and there's also a huge dark night of the soul going on for the planet. So that's what I mean by shamanic times, and you know, we need wise women to help midwife this process in our personal lives and planetarily as well. And then we also recognize the three shamanic worlds that are traditionally seen as the lower worlds of deep transformation, the middle world, which is, of course, 3D reality, and the celestial worlds that I talked about. The celestial world is the world of the ancestors and the other world in Celtic terms, the land of the Shi. And it's also the star nation and the realm of our multidimensional selves. And, you know, as I said, the older we get, the more we're attuned to those realms because we're closer to death and we're about ready to become an ancestor. And, you know, there's this shift in our psyches where the ego's dissolving, that we're, you know, we're being reborn. We're dying to the ego, but we're being reborn as a wisdom keeper with all that knowledge and experience that's honed and seasoned. And then we want to bring that into, we want to bring that into the, into 3D reality to make it real, not ephemeral or intangible, but accessible. Make spirituality accessible to all aspects of ourselves. And of course, that's a principle of the shamanic priestess process, is bringing spirit into matter rather than jettisoning out of our bodies and going out. We want to bring it in. And the more we can bring it in, the more sacred our world becomes. And so we're wanting to bring it in to our bodies, our minds, our spirit, and our spirits, and also to our beloveds, wherever they are, two-leggeds, four-leggeds, nature, whatever. So those are two of the worlds, and then there's the lower world. And the lower worlds are where we encounter, I believe, the death mysteries, because it's a realm of deep and profound transformation. And I think that in terms of this process, the death mysteries are where we're going to be doing that lower world's work. And it's vast. It's a vast arena because we all have been experiencing death like never before. Not only older people dying, but younger people. And it's a great mystery. It really is a mystery.
So will you be exploring that through sharing stories as well as ceremony? Will it look like the process in that way?
Yes, yes. We'll be doing probably more writing, okay? And we will be doing some journeying. We will be doing ceremony. We may be also, we're going to be sharing in a slightly different way than we would in the priestess process and the Magdalene mysteries. These will be shorter sharings because we'll be doing more of them. So, you know, it's the wise woman as the storyteller, but also really looking at legacy work. In other words, how do we take the experiences of our lives and turn them into blessings for the ones that we love. And I believe the death mysteries will be a part of that. And our own death story, you know, what have our experiences been? What beliefs do we hold about death, about the afterlife, about dying? And how has that changed over our lives? And what are our fears about death? You know, what do we think is going to happen? And does it matter to us? How does it matter? So, and of course, making a death plan is pretty tangible as well.
Mm-hmm. This feels like such important work because death in general, just as a subject, is something that as humans we tend to really be resistant towards, you know, almost even in denial about. And
absolutely.
You can really see this in our medical community, how we are so frantically attempting to outrun death. You know, it's really gone kind of crazy. And I think it's so natural for us to look to the wise women, to the elders of the community, to model how to move through that. And I mean, this really brings my heart so much joy and peace to know this is being reintroduced to our society and in a really powerful way that can help to set the stage for, I would even say, reorienting people of all ages to the concept of death.
Mary calls our mainstream culture a death-denying culture, you know. So death-defying, it's death-denying, which I guess is kind of the same thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, for sure, definitely, definitely. Yeah. We can see that everywhere.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Are the three of you, the way that the three of you have partnered up, actually, I'm going to wait just a second to ask you this question. I do want to welcome our listeners who may just be joining us since we are at the top of the hour. It is 4 o'clock, actually 4.02 p.m. Eastern. And if you're just joining us, you are listening to WAIF Cincinnati 88.3 FM, Waves of a New Age, bringing you soul-filled sounds and conscious conversation every Tuesday afternoon from 3 to 5 p.m. I'm your host, Tara Robinson. You can find our show on Facebook at Waves of a New Age. You can find me on Facebook at Tara L. Robinson or on the web, TaraLRobinson.com. My guest today is Anya McAndrew. Her web address is goddessontheloose.com, and we are talking about the brand new Shamanic Wise Woman process, The Path of the Sacred Feminine Elder, which is going to be debuting in October, October 19th through the 23rd in Isis Cove, North Carolina. If you would like application information and to reserve your space, you can contact Mary Grace Manera at marygrace372@me.com. That's marygrace372@me.com. One more time, marygrace372@me.com. So, Anya, the three of you have partnered together on creating, co-creating the Shamanic Wise Woman process. And so are all three of you sharing in all of the topics, or are each of you sort of specializing in an area?
I believe that we're specializing, and then we'll all be participating and joining. So, you know, we'll be learning from each other. There are certain things that I'll be doing. There'll be certain things that Mary will be doing and certain things that Yakova will be doing. So we all have our pieces. We're just, you know, looking at what each of us want to do and how we see it melding together. So say weaving together more than melding.
Mm-hmm. So tell me what some of the other topics will be covered. We talked about the death mysteries quite a bit. And so what else will be discussed?
Well, as I said before, we're going to be doing legacy work. So we'll be doing some writing around that. I don't want to give too much away. We will be doing an intention statement and creating an initiation ceremony, but it will be in a slightly different way. We'll be doing it sort of at the end of the first session rather than at the beginning. We're going to be doing some journeying rather than breath work. We're really going after the soul of our wise woman. So the journey will be focused in that way. And we'll also, what are some of the other things that we'll be doing? Let me get to one of my outlines here and see if I can find something for you that will...
While you're looking for that, I wanted to read a couple of quotes out of the article that is appearing in the July-August issue of Whole Living Journal, which is on stands now. You wrote an article titled Walking as a Wise Woman. And first, this is just like a personal note, but the quote that appears at the top of the article is by Karen Taylor Good from her song Use Me Up. And it says, use mm-hmm. me up. Let me give everything I can. Heart and soul according to your plan. Use me up. Let there be nothing of me left. No chance to love untaken. Not one regret. And for me, that really sums up the essence of what you'll be working on in the Wise Woman process. It's really, I think it's this concept, like you said, of leaving a legacy, which is even still a little different because that's ensuring that your lineage moves forward. But this quote really is about leaving it all on the table, you know, not leaving anything unsaid, not leaving anything undone, putting it all out there. And I just felt like that was a beautiful encapsulation of the essence and of the vibration of this work.
Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. And I'll just say a few more things about what we're going to be doing this first session. We will be looking at stories of crone archetypes and goddesses. So these can be stories of real women or also goddess stories, because we really want to see what's there in herstory that we can draw from, and what is it that we energetically align with in terms of archetypes. We'll also be doing a little bit of shamanic astrology. I'll be helping women to look at the current cycles that they're in and how those cycles may be related to what's going on in their lives and who they are as wise women. And we'll be doing some guided imagery. We'll be doing some of Nicole's journaling processes. There's a really beautiful one called Rememberings. Nicole Christine, who's the creatrix of the Priestess Process, also wrote a book called My Ascension Journal. And she was a journaler, and she taught writing. And so we'll be working with some of her work. And again, our focus in this first one will be looking at our timeline, looking at what we have been up to throughout our whole timeline and the stages and phases of the feminine and where we are in that timeline and what some of the thresholds of that timeline are and what some of the thresholds are that have been forgotten, that have been passed over, that have not been honored or honored sufficiently. So we'll be doing a little bit of that work and ceremony as well. So that's going to be woven in. So there's quite a lot packed into this first weekend. And our job, of course, is not to overwhelm everyone, but to make it an easy, smooth process that really feels like a retreat and really feels like there's a lot for women to take home with them.
Mm-hmm. It really sounds comprehensive. I mean, it really sounds like there will be an opportunity for women to be able to fill in the holes, whatever the gaps mm-hmm. have been in their life. This is an opportunity for them to fully come up to speed so that they can really begin walking in present time and really embracing the embodiment of who they are and where they are in their life right now, an opportunity to really, you know, make peace with the past so that they can get really present.
Yes. And I also want to speak to women who are just over 50 and what they could possibly get from this process. I think it's really important to look at the actual stage that some of those women are in. So women in their 50s and even into their 60s are still creating like crazy. They're still contributing. They're still offering their gifts full on. And we call this in the divine feminine work the queen or the matriarch stage of the sacred feminine. So we want to honor that as well, because there is going to be women who join us who will be in that stage. Okay, they won't be in elderhood so much as they will be in that matriarch or queen stage. So what we foresee is that these women, these, you could say, younger women, will be offering the women in their later elder stages, you could say 70s and beyond, who are slowing down or step back from so much work in the world, a great gift of being able to see themselves in their younger years and to remember who they were. So you could say that gift is going to be a gift of hindsight, so to speak. And then in turn, the elder women will be offering the younger women in their queen stage the gifts of foresight, the ability to see the future from the perspective of the elder years. And so we see it as a very rich prospect for all women. But the focus overall is completion. It's a completion of the later stages of life, a beginning to pull it all together, which, of course, is priestess work as well. The priestess does that, which I think is why it's so important to, you know, to see that the priestess archetype is really a part of this process, because the priestess is the weaver. She weaves everything together. And so we'll be will be really calling on that priestess energy to do the weaving together of our lives, and but from the perspective of the wise woman.
I love it. I wanted to return for a moment since you mentioned about how important the, you know, the priestess archetype is through this particular process. And you said earlier that this is really a sacred woman's process. So this is a little different than maybe what we would see in general in the world through the conscious aging movement.
Yeah.
We're starting to hear more about that, and you know that this is different in that way. So what exactly do you mean by that?
What do I mean by the idea that it's different, or the idea that it's a sacred process?
Yeah, by the idea that it's a sacred process. How, what makes it different than...
The focus on the soul. The focus on, it's not just, so, you know, let's just look at the difference between, let's say, memoir. And there's a lot of memoir writing that is going on now in the conscious aging movement. But the difference between memoir and legacy work is that in legacy work, there's a blessing that we're passing on. It's not just the story. It's a blessing. We want to give something back with that story. It's not just a story. We can tell lots of stories, and they can be entertaining, but there's something different about giving a blessing around that story. In other words, when I say a blessing, it's like I had an experience of some kind, and in that experience, I learned a certain lesson. And in that lesson, there, you know, there is a blessing that I would like to pass on so that not everybody has to learn that lesson in the same way I did. So focus on the soul, okay, and allowing ourselves to more fully direct our energy towards what the soul wants and letting go of what the ego wants. So it's not so much as applauding what we have done and the accomplishments that we've made, but really looking at what's unfinished and how we can honor the experiences that we have had in a sacred way. So we'll be bringing in ceremony, for instance. And what we know about ceremony is that in ceremony, we're calling in, we're invoking spiritual energies to be with us in order to witness an act, a prayer, an intention. And our sisters, of course, will be with us in doing that. And in doing that, we empower whatever it is that we're doing manyfold. So that's a bit about the sacred pieces of it. Does that answer your question, Tara?
It does. You did an excellent job answering that. And it makes me so glad I asked it, because I feel like that really gives our listeners a sense of what the heart of this process is really all about, and which is part of what makes it crucial to do this in person, which I feel like that's another distinction between this process and maybe a lot of other offerings in our world today, because everything has moved so much into technology. There are so many online courses and webinars that are happening, but the three of you, Jacoba, yourself, and Mary Grace, really felt that this was important for this to be an in-person process. And is it for all of those reasons you just mentioned?
Absolutely. And the fact that, you know, we're so distracted. I mean, there are lots of great online processes, but they've never fully worked for me, because I feel there's so much more territory we can go into when we're together. To be able to actually see a woman sitting across the circle from you, to be able to have a meal together, to be able to get out of ordinary time and get into extraordinary time, which allows us to, it allows us to go into altered states, even if that altered state is just sitting in circle together and sharing. It allows us to just move away from all the distractions and go deeper, really, just go deeper.
Mm-hmm. Are you finding that women, because I'm thinking this won't be as great of a challenge as it might be in the future, really convincing someone of the importance of this, because women who are 50 and older, they still have a point of reference for before the internet age. You know, we still have a relationship with that, whereas, like, the up-and-coming generations, you know, where are they going to be in a family? There'll be processes like this that can help to, you know, create, well, like you said, that legacy and really be able to keep that spirit alive so that we don't just lose those opportunities completely. So are you finding that most women seem to understand the importance of this concept and are eager to do it this way versus experiencing resistance around, you know, well, why isn't it online? That's so much more convenient.
You know, I always get questions like that. Why isn't it online? You know, if you had an online process, I would do it. It doesn't really concern me. I feel like the women who understand how much more they're going to benefit from an in-person process will show up for it. So I can't really answer that question in terms of, you know, is there a lot of resistance to it? I don't think so. What I'm finding is that the women who are showing up for this process just totally get it. They totally get, they've had experiences in their life where it's like, oh my gosh, this is what I was looking for. This is what I need at this time, you know, based on what my experiences have been. So I think that the priesthood process is really a calling. Again, you have to feel that, you have to feel that calling. It's not a workshop. It's more than that. It's a process. And processes are different than workshops. You know, it's really, our intention is to really embody it over time rather than to download a whole bunch of information and then send you home. So you're really participating. You're really called to participate fully, to be fully present. And I think with those kinds of processes, we really, you know, we walk away changed. We go back changed. And our hope is that women will do this process and that they will create circles of the elder women in their community, or not, you know, expecting women to duplicate this process or even wanting them to. But certainly they could take pieces of it and they could create their own small circles of, you know, sisters. I can't imagine what it would be like for me if I didn't have my own women's circle, for instance. And all the women in my women's circle are elders. So, you know, we talk about things that I wouldn't have talked about in a circle of younger women earlier in my life.
Through the stages of life together. Well, I know, again, this is an area that I can personally testify to how important it is to be able to move out of that ordinary time and get into extraordinary time where you really can grow and change and commit yourself to be fully present because, you know, even with the priestess process, like, that's a, it's a big commitment. It's a big commitment to leave your life. And I know a lot of people have become accustomed to, like you said, you know, well, if it was online, I would do it. But you're just really missing something so crucial in that format. Something, you know, the circle of women, the sharing time, you really just can't get the same kind of human contact through technology as you do when you're face-to-face. And I know, you know, that was a big thing for me. I have three children and a family and a business and I'm running, and to take these days out to commit to this and say, but there just has not been anything that has been more worth it. And it's exactly that. It's exactly that connection. It's that sense of extraordinary time. It's the, you know, being face-to-face and sitting in circle, the sisterhood of women. That's the part that I start to miss so much when I'm not in it. And I also really love how the process continues to work on me between meetings. So I love hearing that this Wise Woman process could really actually span a year. So you're talking even longer than 6 months, where the information can really grow and evolve. And I mean, information is not the right term for it, because this is not like head knowledge that's coming in, but rather a change on the cellular level, on the soul level is happening, and to be able to come back together and to be able to share who you are now with the circle and bring your questions or concerns, and to be able to grow together in that way is such a gift.
Yeah, where else do we get to do this? I mean, we just don't. And we're focusing, you know, we're focusing in a way that is, in the past, been taboo. It really has been taboo. I mean, you know, and we go even further back than that, and it's been taboo for women to meet, for women to even come together. So for women to come together and talk about death, for women to come together and talk about, you know, their life experiences in a way that, you know, looks at the end of life straight on, and to share about their, you know, their issues and their concerns. It's just, I think it's just a wonderful format for that. So, and who knows how it's going to evolve? I mean, we really don't know.
I was thinking that as you were talking and sharing, and especially when you were talking about the soul work, you know, and the idea that we're giving a blessing and not just sharing our stories, and we're asking what does the soul want versus what does the ego want, really wrapping up those loose ends, really coming into a state of completion. I was just wondering if the evolution of this might not be, you know, like where there's an invitation to women. I wonder if women will eventually go through this twice, like especially if they hit it on the early end, you know, because it really, like I've said, I'm like chomping at the bit to be able to do this, you know, how quick can I turn 50 so I can do this process? And yet, I do know that being 50 is very different than being 70. And so, you know, the work that you would do as a young 50-year-old, it would be even different later in your life. And so, you know, I just wonder if there'll be, like, that opening where women decide to return, where it's like, okay, wait a minute, I need to come back through, because now it's a little different. Now what my soul is wanting is even different than 20 years ago.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I don't think we know, you know, all the benefits of and how it will evolve. And, you know, maybe you can interview us in another year.
I would love to.
Well, we've facilitated the whole series, and then we can take a look at it again and see how the series itself has shifted.
Absolutely.
And evolved. Because we're all evolving. It's not going to stay the same. Yeah, and I love that idea that, you know, women coming in a little over 50 or will be getting something different than women who come in at 70. And who knows? Just who knows? I don't make plans anymore. I don't do much more than about a year out anymore. I just don't set goals.
It's part of the melting, right?
Yeah, it's just part of the melting. Exactly.
I can also really appreciate it. Like you said at the beginning of this conversation, you said that, you know, some of the challenges and the gifts of being at this stage, you said there's body challenges, and, you know, you're also, you know, in a place where you're single again and looking at entering relationship again, but you're a completely different person now than the last time you were entering a relationship. And I really thought how relevant that is to so many women who are aging, because it doesn't matter if they've been through a divorce or a separation. Oftentimes, our status of whether we're single or not is impacted by death. And when we're aging, mm-hmm. I mean, often we lose partners
mm-hmm.
to,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
like where it's not necessarily by choice. You know, and yet we find ourselves single again and then heading back out into seeking a partnership or relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that look like
mm-hmm.
now? Because mm-hmm. even if we've been married, you know, 30, 40 years,
mm-hmm.
But suddenly it's a whole new ball game, and yet some things are the same
yeah.
because there's still, like, the dating. And,
yeah. Yeah, I don't necessarily see myself doing that this time. I'm gonna do it in a more magnetic way, I think. Just being myself, you know, being more authentic. And, yeah, and you know, it's also important to say that there are a lot of women who've gone through long-term relationships or many relationships, and they're not interested anymore, and they really want to do the sacred marriage work. And I think that is just as valid to do that sacred marriage work with our own inner masculine. And that is the work of the seasoned woman of consciousness as well. That's the work of the elder, the more that, I think it's Marianne Woodman who talks about that, the more we do that sacred marriage work where our partnership is totally with ourselves and we don't need an outer partner anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow, that'll be an amazing thing for women to explore. I wanted
mm-hmm.
to read a couple of parts from your article, because I loved what you said. You said, "I am thoroughly enjoying walking as a wise woman these days, but that was not so until recently. I've been an eternal youth most of my life, choosing not to have children and instead focus on my sacred work and my freedom to be eccentric and forge new trails. But I've been discovering new facets of myself as I embrace my wisdom, and I care less about self-image, accomplishment, and achievement. I'm also discovering a new kind of spiritual sensitivity, a profound connection to the animal kingdom, and a deepening connection to my own inner mate. I'm able to be present-centered, less distracted by the glamour of the world as I drop into the last cycles of my life. I no longer have goals because I want to follow more of what inspires me and less of what drives me."
Mm. Yeah.
That's so good. That's so good to just imagine sharing space with women who all have a similar intention, you know, where
mm-hmm.
everyone is
mm-hmm.
exploring, wanting to follow what inspires them instead of what
mm-hmm.
drives them.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you for reading that, Sarah.
That's beautiful. You did a great job writing it.
Yeah.
That makes me, I can really hear the essence of the melting in that, you know, where
mm-hmm.
those hard edges might be that fire in our belly that drives us to
mm-hmm.
achieve, expend all this life force energy we have running through us. And then there's a time that just calls us to sink in, to resting more. And it doesn't mean inactivity. And I feel like that's what you so clearly expressed here, is that it's not about becoming inactive. It's not about just, you know, retreating into invisibility, but rather how to really be anchored and seated in your heart and in your soul space, where you're really walking and embodying that aspect of yourself and walking in the world in that way, showing up
mm-hmm.
from that space.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
an example for the world to follow. I think it's really that practice which is going to reinstate the natural rhythm of really respecting and honoring and actually having reverence for our elders, really looking to them as the wisdom keepers, because, you know, it's really sad that we've gotten so far from that.
So well said. So well said.
So let's go over the details one more time, because we are at 4:30, and so we're going to be wrapping
mm-hmm.
up the interview, but I do want to make sure our listeners know where to go to get more information for anyone, you know, who's just catching the end of this interview and aren't
mm-hmm.
sure exactly what it's all about. I'm talking with Anya McAndrew today, and her web address is goddessontheloose.com, where you can find more information about all of what Anya does. You can find her writings there, as well as many other things, but you can also find information about the brand new Shamanic Wise Woman Process. So if you look on her page, you'll see a tab for Shamanic Wise Woman Process where you can get more information. You can also contact Mary Grace Manera for application information through her email, which is marygrace372@me.com. That's marygrace372@me.com. And the Shamanic Wise Woman Process, the Path of the Sacred Feminine Elder, is a 3-4-day residential retreat process, which will begin in October 19th through the 23rd at Isis Cove, North Carolina. It will be facilitated by Anya McAndrew, Mary Grace Manera, and Jackie Gronenwegen, also known as Yokoba. And is there anything else you want to add to that, Anya? What do you want to say in some parting words?
You know, in the tradition of Rachel Fried, who has written the book that is going to be in our resource list called Women's Lives, Women's Legacies, Rachel Fried, I want to end with a blessing, okay? And the blessing will be, may you know in your bones who the wise woman is inside of you. May you feel her as a part of your soul. And may you allow her to more fully walk in your life. Not hesitating to speak out, to act out, and to fully love yourself and your life in a new and deeper way. Blessed be.
Oh, that's beautiful. I mean, I can't imagine ending in a more perfect way, because that certainly any woman who hears that blessing will recognize if she has the calling within her. And I love what you said. You know, this is a calling. This is a process. This isn't a workshop. This is soul level work. And when it's on the soul level, it's a calling. You know. You just know. You just know. That's all there is to it. And all of those blocks around the traveling or finances or time, all of that just falls away when it's a calling, because there just is no other answer other than to do it.
You know, I'm reminded of a book that Shirley MacLaine wrote, one of her most recent ones, called I'm Over All That. Have you seen that? It's a Crone book. It's definitely a Crone book, and she just lists all the things that she's over. You know, and that it just really doesn't matter anymore. You know, her resistances, her walls, they're just kind of gone. Her self-image. And I love that. I love that book for that reason.
Oh, that, I will definitely have to check that out. I'm not good at Crone Stone yet, but trust me, I've been making my own list of what I'm over, especially after emerging from the Magdalene process. There's a bunch I'm shutting off. I'm like, oh no, I'm so over that. That has to go.
I'm so over that, really.
I'm so over that. So.
Yeah, awesome.
Today.
Yes, it was delightful to talk with you. You're just an awesome, awesome priestess and interviewer. Oh my goodness, you have so much wisdom to add. So thank you so much for facilitating this interview and bringing all of your wisdom too. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I love receiving that from you. Well, I also will just give you a blessing back and just tell you that I wish you all the luck and all the blessings in the world with this process. I think this is a powerful, powerful offering. I know even just this conversation today really has great implications for shifting things in our world. You know, every conversation is a part of the change. So thank you.
Absolutely.
Anya,
thank you for your part in making it happen, too. I appreciate it. All right. Love you.
Have a great day. Love you, too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to WAIF Cincinnati 88.3 FM. I'm your host, Tara Robinson, concluding Conscious Conversation with Anya McAndrew, an ordained high priestess and congregational leader at Full Moon Sanctuary. Her web address is goddessontheloose.com, and we were talking about the shamanic wise woman process, Path of the Sacred Feminine Elder, which is a four-day residential retreat beginning October 19th through the 23rd at beautiful Isis Cove, North Carolina, with Anya McAndrew, Mary Grace Manera, and Jackie Yohokakoba Grunewagen. You can contact Mary Manera for more information at marygrace372@me.com. marygrace372@me.com. And you can find me online at taralrobinson.com, also on Facebook, Waves of the New Age, and Tara L. Robinson. And I want to just say how happy I am that this conversation took place today. I really just feel so blessed to be able to engage in conversation of this depth and this level, where we're talking about real things that matter and are important in our lives. And, you know, we're really coming, and we're in the age of Aquarius. And like Anya said, you know, we're in shamanic times. We're living in shamanic times. There's a huge dark night of the soul that we're experiencing on our planet, and it's calling all of us to move into authenticity. There's just no room. I mean, it was Shirley MacLaine, like Anya was saying, who wrote a book that's very much a Chromebook. I'm over all that. But in general, this is kind of a sentiment that is surging and heaving through our world today. There are many people just on a basic archetypal level, you know, the main archetypes that have been driving our world. It's just suddenly like there are new archetypes rearing their head, and they're saying, no, we are over all that. And it's time for radical change. It's time for radical change, and we're experiencing, like, even a crisis of the soul. There's like a fracturing happening inside of us, and anything that's not truly authentic, anything that's not truly resonant with us on the soul level, anything that is built on fear or built on illusion or built on frantic doingness, which is born of fear, all of that is shedding off. It's fracturing apart from who we are, and it's challenging. Many of us are being driven to tears on a regular basis, and yet it's so necessary because it's bringing us into a state of pure essence, pure beingness, pure presence, where we can really begin showing up with one another, not connecting from our wounds any longer, but that we begin really connecting from our hearts and from our souls. And the work Anya is doing is such a huge part of this. So if you're listening to this interview and you are at all interested, like I said, it's a calling, so you will know. You will just know. But if you have some fear coming up around it, just pay attention to the way it stays with you, because I'm going to bet that it will stay with you as you go to bed tonight, and as you wake up tomorrow morning, these thoughts are going to remain with you. And if they do, I encourage you to heed the whisperings. Heed the whisperings within. Allow their voice to become louder and louder, because there's something really special awaiting for you in this process. So it's the Shamanic Wise Woman Process, Path of the Sacred Feminine Elder, Isis Cove, North Carolina, October 19th through the 23rd. Mary Grace, for more information at marygrace372@me.com. And one final word before we tune to some soul-filled sounds. I want to just send one more blessing out to Mary Grace and send her some loving, healing energy as we just envision her coming in and being restored to whole wellness as her body recovers from bronchitis and a cough that's kind of been lingering. So if all of you can just join with me, let's just bring our collective consciousness together to bless Mary Grace and see her in vibrant, light-filled health. And on that note, we are going to listen to India Ari from the Songversation album. There's a song on here called I Am Light. I play this frequently on the show because, oh, it's one of my favorites. So stay tuned as we transition to that music. We only have one CD player working in the studio today, so there is a delay between the songs. If you've been listening from the beginning of the show, you might have noticed some dead air time, which is generally not typical on this radio show, but we're just rolling with the flow today because that's what we have to work with, and we're so grateful to even have a CD player working. So stay with me while I transition to India Ari, I Am Light, and I promise you're not going to want to miss this song. Thank you so much for listening to WAIF Cincinnati 88.3 FM.